It's Paul Smolin, M.D., your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions, he has answers. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Dr. Paul Smolin here. Thanks for joining me for another episode of DocSmo.com. Now, for my new listeners, let me define what a PEDcast is. A PEDcast is a name that I made up for a podcast where we discuss parenting topics. And these topics can range anywhere from the bassinet all the way to when your child is in the boardroom. They're meant to be informational in nature, and they're not intended to give you specific medical advice for a specific child. For that, you need to see your child's doctor. Now, in today's PEDcast, we're going to discuss some of those burning parental questions, like, when should I potty train my child? And when can I stop buying those expensive diapers? And are pull-ups useful? I'm going to try to give you the Doc Smo view of potty training young children. And I think I'm going to convince you that success with potty training is more about your child than about your parenting skills. Hopefully, I'm going to give you an understanding of where your child needs to be developmentally to master potty training. And finally, we're going to take a few moments to look back in time, look at how things were done years ago, and maybe we can learn something from the experience of our parents and our grandparents. So let's get started. Most parents start thinking about potty training when their toddler gets to be about 18 months old. That's when language starts to emerge. Now, once it's clear that Johnny can talk and understand language, it's logical to think that he can be coerced into urinating in the toilet. Now, physiologically speaking, he most likely does have control of the little muscles, the little sphincter muscles that control urine. They are under his voluntary control. So if he can control those muscles, and he can understand language, and he can talk, why not be potty trained? Well, let's think that all the way through. What does little Johnny have to do in order to be trained? Well, first, Johnny needs to notice that his bladder is full and stop what he's doing and be motivated to take some kind of action. Secondly, he needs to be able to tell someone that he needs to go pee. Third, he needs to have the physical skill to pull his pants down. He needs to be able to undress. Fourth, he needs to get control of his little sphincter muscles and make sure that they relax and let the pee out. And finally, he needs to resume the activity that he was engaged in before he started this whole process. Now, I don't know about you, but this doesn't sound like many of the toddlers that I know or have lived with. Developmentally, this sounds like a 2 or a 3-year-old. I counted 7 things Johnny had to do to be successful with the potty. Remember, most 18-month-olds barely have any expressive language. They have a very short attention span. They have great difficulty transitioning between activities, and they're not particularly concerned about the consequences of their actions. But they do, I repeat, they do have control of those little sphincter muscles. Well, let's go back in history a little bit, back to our grandparents' time, and see how they dealt with the issue. Now, during their era, a child was expected to be potty trained around 18 months of age. And until the invention of the modern disposable diaper, there was really good reason for this. They wanted their kids potty trained by 18 months of age. And most actually were trained to some degree by this age. But there were some that either couldn't or refused or rebel. Now, these rebellious children, they would have success for a few weeks, and then they just started ignoring the whole issue, having accidents, and generally driving their parents crazy. Think about it from a parent's perspective. They knew their child could control their bowels and bladder, but they wouldn't. They wouldn't take over the responsibility. And think about it from the child's perspective. The child was being asked to do something that they didn't really want to do. They were being forced into this, and they were mad because of that expectation. The perfect recipe for serious friction, and boy, was there friction. I have been told that the famous pediatrician Dr. Benjamin Spock, not the Star Trek character, but the famous pediatrician who lived in the 20th century, after watching a lot of this during his career, came to the conclusion that many children were simply not ready to be potty trained at 18 months of age. This was sort of radical back in those days, but this is the conclusion that he came to. And he thought not only were they not ready, but he thought that this caused a lot of damage to the parent-child relationship, that this emphasis on potty training at a young age was harmful to both the parent and the child. And I happen to agree with him. I think there are more important things for young children to master than controlling their bladders. Well, let's get back to that original question that I posed in the intro. When should I potty train my child? Now remember, the whole point of this podcast is that they have to have a number of readiness skills to be successful with potty training and to take over responsibility. Your child needs to be able to be aware that their bladder is full, stop what they're doing, be willing to deal with the whole process, have the language to tell you that they need help, be able to deal with the taking off and putting their clothes on, be able to control the muscles of pottying, and be able to make a smooth transition back to play. Once a child can do all those things, potty training should be easy. Okay, so let's get into the nitty-gritty of the training process. Now, I recommend that you emphasize rewards over punishments. Your praise, your attention, your approval is obviously the ultimate reward for your child. But stickers, stars, a favorite toy, maybe even candy when the process begins, can be a great motivator to get your child interested in dealing with the toilet. I also want you to provide them with some really slick underwear. Get some underwear that has cartoon characters or something that they would find very interesting, and let them wear those and emphasize, don't mess these up. These are your slick new underwear. Now, once you've decided that your child has all the readiness skills and you've begun the process, I want you to put them in the underwear and don't look back. Don't do what a lot of parents do. They go back and forth between underwear and diapers, depending on what's going on, and trying to minimize the number of accidents. That's a bad message for a little kid to get when they're trying to get trained. You want them to get the message, hey, these are my slick underwear. I need to be on my P's and Q's. I need to use the toilet so that I don't mess them up and I don't have accidents. During the training process, I think it's reasonable to remind your child and encourage your child to visit the toilet about every 2 to 3 hours, because most people need to empty their bladder on average about every 3 hours. Don't force, just encourage. Bath time is also a good time to get started because your child is naked and there's a lot of water flowing and thoughts go to water and urine and pee. And a lot of times, a lot of little kids will have success controlling their sphincter muscles and learning how to pee when they're naked for a prolonged period of time around bath time. Make sure you provide a low toilet if your child prefers that. A regular toilet is a pretty high place for a young child, and they fear that they're going to fall in, and that's not going to help your cause. So provide them with a low toilet, but whatever toilet they interact with, let them play with it, let them sit on it, let them pretend with their baby dolls and their stuffed animals. You want them to get really comfortable with the whole potty thing. And I don't want you to overreact to accidents. No matter how much you love that Oriental carpet, if your child has an accident on it, try to play it cool, clean it up best you can, and move on. We all have accidents as we learn new things, and you need to expect some of this. Now, I have to tell you, I am not a real big fan of pull-ups. I think they're really diapers with a different design. I think they are very useful for overnight dryness, but in my opinion, they're not very useful for training. Once you start the whole training process, they need to be in underwear. And my final message on this subject is that you need to relax about all this. If your child is developmentally normal and has all the readiness skills that we talked about before, they will get trained. You just need to be patient. Some kids never have an accident. Others, it takes a while. But just be patient. It will happen. Relax and kick back and sort of try and enjoy the whole process. Well, there are some tips to get you started with your child's daytime potty training. Remember, we're talking only here about daytime potty training. Young children have small bladders, and they can only hold 3 or 4 hours worth of urine before their bladder just reflexly empties. So it's almost impossible for them to be dry all night long. So don't feel bad putting them in a diaper or a pull-up to keep them dry at night. We're going to talk about nighttime dryness in a whole nother episode of DocSmo.com, so stay tuned. Well, thank you for joining me today. Feel free to check out any and all of my other podcasts on my website, DocSmo.com. It's been my privilege to spend a few minutes with you today, giving you my perspective on child health issues. If you have insights or comments you would like to share with us, feel free to join the discussion at my blog. This is Dr. Paul Smolin, your host, broadcasting from the beautiful Studio 1E in Charlotte, North Carolina, hoping your child feels free to have success controlling his pee. Until next time. I want to thank the following people for help with the production of this podcast: David, Golden Voice Jaffe, for his intro voiceover. Seth Jaffe, the Rocket Man Barrister, for his inspirational guidance. Wendy Smolin, chief of our talented legal staff. Ann Gesner, my extremely knowledgeable editing associate. Sarah, the Wizard Smolin, for her digital editing and photography. And Robert Beezer, Ben Smolin, and Jerome Moof for producing this beautiful intro and outro music you were listening to. Thanks, guys.
By listening to this podcast, you agree to all of the terms and conditions found at the DocSmo.com website. This DocSmo.com podcast is informational only. Dr. Smolin does not diagnose, treat, or offer specific medical advice for your child. For specific medical advice regarding your child, consult his or her healthcare provider.